afternoon. An hour flew by, didn't it? Suddenly I'm in here. Paul Burrell's legging it home. Welcome. I'm Andy Stevens. This is the Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. Now, I've got to tell you this. We started a new job on Monday. All we're going to be doing is hacking off a bit of dashing that had started cracking, water getting in. And we were extending a garage and a bit of landscaping. I thought, nice little job before Christmas. So we got up onto the ladder. We started taking a bit of the dashing off. And literally the whole thing just started collapsing. This is a bay window. It's ground floor, first floor, flat roof with a bit of lead on. And I reckon if I'd hit this thing any harder, it would have completely collapsed. That's the whole side of the house gone. Basically, all the timber that goes up between the clinker blocks, it had weevils. So it had rotten all the way through. And to be fair, whoever put the dashing on did a nice strong mix, because that is currently what is holding up the side of their house. So yeah, another delay. And while we're on the subject of this job, tea. I think it was tea. The first one we had, we reckon, was a normal tea bag. The second one was one of those funny mint stroke lemon stinging nettle hedge flavour, whatever they use. And then this last cup, I tell you what, there was only a couple of us on the job, but we've been doing this a long time. We didn't know what it was. We went through every concoction of tea bags and flavours, and we were nowhere near it. So get in touch with us here. Let us know if you've had the most bizarre cup of tea on any job. The text number's 81400. Start the message with Fix. Now, a little bit of serious stuff. News this week in construction. Developers, contractors and specialists are all stockpiling materials ahead of Britain leaving the EU, construction news can reveal. Basically, what this means is all the big boys are starting to buy lots of things like bricks, blocks, metal, because of the potential fall of the pound against the euro. Now, do you remember this a few years ago? We had a brick and a block shortage, didn't we? And all the big developers stored all of the bricks and blocks in fields in the West Country. What happens to us small builders? We have to wait weeks or months for a few bricks, even for an extension. So we got to get this stopped. And finally, MPs have called for a 30-day payment plan to be enforced, which is great news. The Small Business and Productivity Report by the BIS Committee recommends a government introduce a statutory requirement for companies to pay within 30 days, which I think is key, because all of us lot cannot wait any longer than that. And it will also keep many more small businesses keep going without late payments. Bottom line is, though, does this actually mean the MPs themselves are going to pay us trades on time?
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens, brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
I'm Andy Stevens, and this is the Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. Joining me on the line now is Peter Bull from the Builder Training Centre in Croydon. Peter joined me a few months ago to talk about the number of people retraining into our industry and what their company does, as well as looking at what could potentially happen with Brexit. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hello, hi.
Following on from sort of a couple of months ago when we spoke last, are you seeing, with the uncertainty with Brexit in the construction industry, are you seeing less people retraining, or is it the sort of adverse effect where more people are looking to get into it because there could be more jobs?
Well, I think it's probably pretty constant, actually. I would say that it's not changed a lot. What I'm noticing is that probably more older people are moving into the construction industry from other things rather than just sort of young apprentices.
And which trade seems to be the most popular? There's always a shortage of bricklayers. I'm struggling to find them constantly. Plumbers is another trade which there don't seem to be many good ones around. Would that follow suit with what you're seeing, or is it a sort of even keel across all trades?
It's fairly even, but I've noticed that the biggest interest at the moment is in electrics. Electricians, that seems to be the big area at this time for interest.
And do you think that's purely because being an electrician is perceived as earning better money, or do you think there is more of a shortage across the country?
Well, I think because it's one of the trades that's regulated by law, it's attracting a higher percentage of people who are looking for a regulated rather than an advisory qualification. So, you know, you can't be an electrician without the qualification, whereas you can be a bricklayer without a qualification in some cases.
Well, that leads me nicely on to the next point. The Federation of Master Builders have been pushing now for the last couple of years, it's in Parliament, it's being discussed about somehow regulating our industry and the fact that each tradesperson will be regulated. I personally think it's a great way forward, but obviously there's a lot of us, me included, I have no paperwork whatsoever. I was just lucky to work with incredibly skilled older guys many years ago and picked up from there. What's your views on this, Peter? Is this something you think's realistic?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. One way is to think in terms of that qualifications are some kind of evidence that you have gone through some training, but then a lot of very, very good tradespeople have never been done any qualifications. And sometimes, you know, people use qualifications as an excuse for not really producing very good work. So I think that actually, although qualifications are a good thing, I don't think they should become obligatory, apart from in areas where perhaps health and safety is of paramount risk, which is mainly gas and electrics at this time.
I totally agree. I look at some of the plasterers I've worked with and bricklayers, and you know, literally some of them can just about write their own name. They're not great with words or numbers, but you know, you put them on a trowel and you won't see anything like it. How do we even attempt to get these guys and girls to get qualified or take some form of exam? Or are they just going to turn around and say, look, I've been doing this 25 years, this is my experience?
Yeah, well, I think the problem with the MVQ programme, as opposed to the City and Guilds, when the MVQ came in, it became very much a paper exercise and not a practical skill. So for example, in plastering, MVQ level 2, which is kind of the entry level for practicing the trade, that level, there is very, very little actual practical assessment in it. It's mainly paperwork, and this is what we've got to get rid of. The problem is that the people who organise these qualifications are not tradespeople. They are civil servants, and they are academics, and they don't understand the industry, and I'm afraid from a political point of view, neither do governments, and they never have done. They do not understand how the construction industry works. And, you know, that's the main issue, that people in power haven't got a clue what the industry is really all about.
I completely agree, Peter. I think we've talked about this before. I'm incredibly passionate about the fact that, you know, spreads, as you say, level two, really haven't got a clue what they're doing with the hawk and trowel. And I sort of flip it to two brothers that I worked with for many years a while ago. The elder one was fantastic. He told his younger brother, who he trained himself on a job, no classroom, no apprenticeships, he wouldn't let him put anything on the wall for 4 months. He purely practiced knocking up the right thickness if it was finish or hard wall bonding, and then he spent another 3 months learning to get it off the hawk onto the trowel properly without losing it all over the floor. I mean, to me, that experience is way better than paperwork. I mean, what does paperwork give us in that sort of trade? To be honest, it's nothing, isn't it?
Yes, well, of course, if you go abroad, in many countries, you have to be registered to be a builder. I believe in France, you can't practice at all in any building skill and earn your living without being registered with the local mayor. And I think that might be the case in America as well.
It's the same in Germany as well.
Yeah, but we, in a way, we don't necessarily have to go down that route. What we've got to do is have more practical training. Now, many years ago, there was a program called TOPS, Training Opportunities, that was practical training. It was 6 months, which people say isn't very long, but all their training was practical. There was no paperwork in it. It was all actually on working on the job, learning hand skill. And I also think that the skills of electrics and things like that are very theory-based, whereas some of the other skills are not. The finished trades and the structural trades are not theory-based. They're more practical, and the only way you can assess them is practically. And I don't think they should even get their pen out, frankly. I think they should be judged purely by watching them work and watching how they manipulate the tools and so forth.
Thanks for the moment, Peter. We're going to go into a quick break and then we'll come straight back to you.
This is Andy Stevens on the Toolbox Show on Fix Radio, and joining me again is Peter Bull from the Builder Training Centre in Croydon.
I've visited some training colleges over the years, and as you say, with sort of electrical work, you can do a lot of it through a classroom and then obviously put it into practice. But, you know, plastering and, you know, landscaping, I just cannot see how we can do that. If we would take a step forward, Peter, what do we need to do? What do figureheads in the industry need to do in order to get this to change? I think you and I have similar views of the CITB. Anne Milton, the apprenticeship minister, is confirming to come on the show soon, so I'll keep you up to date on that. I'm sure you'll have a couple
Thank
of questions. What can we do, though? Because we've, as you say, we are great with our hands and we need to learn with our hands. What can we do to get this whole apprenticeship scheme, etc., changed and so it actually works and people can gain experience quick?
I think we, in the long term, we've got to get the industry accepted as an honourable and worthwhile industry and not as a default thing that people do if they can't do anything else. I think it's got to get into schools. We've got to get it right down to 13 and 14-year-olds practicing these trades in the schools as an alternative to some other subjects, but not as a default because they're not good at German or maths or English. It's a case of raising the status of the trade. I've just been to the World Skills Olympics, the British version in Birmingham, and there's some great young people learning trades, but it's not being passed through. It's down to them as individuals to find their own way. It's not being done at a national level. So we've got to educate people in schools. I really think this is where it starts, and to give people the feeling that, you know, it's worth doing. I have many students who've been in other industries who come into the building trade fresh, and they absolutely love it. Some of them have been very high powered in other things, and they just want to get into a hands-on practical skill, and there's a great value in it. It's a wonderful thing to do, and it's very underrated by society.
I think, as you say, it's not just the enjoyment. A lot of us stand back at the end of a job and, you know, you look back with pride of what you've done yourself.
Definitely.
But also you can earn good money. I mean, I know bricklayers that are on £300-£500 a day. Central London, they're charging £150 a metre to repoint the outside of a house. It's not bad money anymore.
No, I think there's great money in it. And the other thing I'm a great believer in, as I think I've told you before, is that we need to get our tradespeople to learn about the business side if they're going to be self-employed, because 70% plus of all construction workers will at some stage be either partially self-employed or totally self-employed, and they get no business training at all. And it's such a shame that a good tradesman or tradeswoman will suffer because they're good at their job and yet they don't understand the business side of being a builder, which I know you do because you've got your own business, but a lot of them don't, and they make a mess of it unnecessarily because they haven't had the experience.
I've got to be honest, Peter, I thought I did, and that was my final question. I'm literally snowed under with inquiries, looking at jobs, pricing it, contracts, payment schedules, all the rest of it. But with all of this, and also still being on the tools and seeing customers, suddenly I looked at my account the other day and literally my overdraft's full, and I had no idea about this because I've got so much on. We've got to get this very sort of focused running your own business training into people, because you may be great at what you do, but, you know, paperwork wise, that's our weakness.
I couldn't agree more. The point is that, you see, you can have a list full of clients, you can have very happy clients, but I'm not saying you, but generally a builder cannot be making any money because their focus is on their job, not on the finance. And, you know, at the end of the day, we all go to work basically to earn a living. And therefore, I've been a great promoter of trying to get builders to understand that they are a business. They're not just in trade. They're a business. And therefore, they need to get their business side sorted out. And they need help with it. Of course they do, because they haven't got time to do it all themselves. They need support and training and encouragement. And I really believe in this strongly, you know. I've been plugging this for a very long time now.
Well, I think it's something that we'll talk about again in the new year. Yeah. Obviously, we both know Alison Warner, who's doing a fantastic job in this
sort of line of work.
Yeah.
Definitely.
For the time being, Peter, thanks ever so much. Have a great Christmas, and we will talk to you again in January.
Anytime. Thanks a lot. All the best, Andy. See you soon.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
Joining me now is Bill Hill, the CEO of the construction industry charity, The Lighthouse, with some exciting news. There's a new app being launched. Hello there, Bill. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks very much, Andy.
Good.
Talk to you again.
Sorry?
Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Now we've got exciting news. Could you tell us there's a new app being launched to support the construction workers' mental health?
Yes, and it's being launched on December the 7th. And this is a piece of the jigsaw that has been missing for a while. We've got a construction industry helpline, 24/7 helpline for anybody in the construction industry can call that helpline and get support. We're working with the CITB, the Construction Industry Training Board, and some major players within the industry to get mental health first aiders out on site, so you can see there's somewhere to call, there's somebody to talk to face to face. The bit that was missing was for those that want to self-serve information, and we're launching an app. It's called the Construction Industry Helpline app, and it will be available on Google, the iStore, and on Android and Apple on both of their app stores on December the 7th, and it's a free download. Cost nothing.
So this is a big step forward. I've been talking to suppliers. We've been doing quite a lot of social media videos for basically the research has shown that the younger generation, God, I'm sounding ancient here, I'm only in my 40s, but the younger lot, these sort of late teens, 20s and even 30s, everything is done on their phones. So having something like an app is great because it's giving them access rather than them, if you like, doing the old school way of phoning up. So it's a massive step forward.
Yeah, it is. And you know, again, we are hugely indebted to a company called Coins, which is a British company, software company delivering into the construction market. I went to see their CEO and told them our little project, and he said, we are 100% behind this. We will do all the technology development for you free of charge on a philanthropic basis. So all we've had to do is to pull the strands of information together to make the app actually work, and it's absolutely aimed in that generation where they want to self-serve and find out about their condition and find more about it in the app. There's tools to help people so they can self-help, they can find out about the condition, they can self-help about the condition, they can even assess the level of anxiety or depression through a small question and answer session, and there's a big button on there that says get help, and that brings up a big list of places where they can get help, including our construction industry helpline as well, where they can go and access help as well. So it fills the big gap that was missing.
Fills a big gap, as you say, and I think, you know, Coins, as you just looking at their history, over 35 years of developing software solutions in the industry, construction companies, 60,000 users across the world, and they've grown their company. It's great to hear companies like that saying we want to give something back and working with the likes of yourself, which is brilliant. As you say, it's going to attract the younger generation into our industry, and it's just brilliant to have such a big company on board helping out with this app.
Yeah, and the other thing as well, I mean, it was just a positive consequence of this is that, you know, that app is free downloadable, and anybody can download it. And what it is doing, and what it will continue on its development to do, is to bring bigger libraries of information of where people can get help. And the country is very fragmented about where you can get help on certain different parts of the country, and some parts of the country have got some fantastic little charities that can deliver some great support to people in that area where that charity is not available in another area. So the more we pump into the library, there's a little geolocation aspect to the app as well, where we will be able to filter down and deliver local help as well. where somebody can go and access something very locally. And I think that's really important too, is that they can find something really close at hand and then be able to access it.
One thing we've touched on before, Bill, I think it was last week, the biggest step forward for somebody suffering with mental health is the admission, is picking up that phone to make that call. The app offers that sort of in-between. You're not directly conversing with somebody. You've got, as you say, you've got facilities to see where locally you can get support. You can type things in like the Samaritans do, the text service. It's not that quite, it's almost not as formal. So those people that perhaps are realising there's something wrong but haven't got the necessary sort of willpower to speak to someone, they can use this app, and it's more of a gentle approach to getting help.
Yeah, this is where the app will come into its own. Is it, you know, when people do some research into their own condition, hopefully it will give them the confidence. And we see the app as a conduit to be able to access other services. It might actually give a solution to somebody, because some of the self-help tools are really good. Like if you're having an anxiety attack, some of the self-help tools about how to breathe properly and through anxiety, etc., are very workable and very easy to take on board and deliver, and they do the job. But if you're having something bigger, you know, your anxiety is stopping you doing things in your life, then you need to access far more professional help, and this little app will give you that information, but it'll also be able to push the button and say, well, where do I get this help? Bang, push the button, and you'll find out exactly where to get the help for that particular problem. So I think it'll help a lot, and I say, for me, it fills a big gap that's been missing, and for us it's so exciting because it's something our charity's never done before. It's entered into this big new world of technology.
Well, it's great to hear. Just to recap, the Construction Industry Helpline app will be live Friday, which is the 7th of December, available on Android and in the App Store. Bill, thanks ever so much, and no doubt we'll be seeing each other over Christmas for a quick beer and a lovely chat. Thanks again.
Cheers, Andy. Thanks very much.
Talking about tea earlier, we've had quite a few messages, text. Good to see text, none of this tweeting business. Text messages are coming in. First one, we got John in Guildford, basically got an old couple they're working for. Tea's questionable, comes in with a weird oil slick on top. I know what you mean about that, mate. That's the hard water, I think. Coffee's so strong that when you add the milk, which comes in a separate receptacle, what one of those is, you mean like a milk jug, it barely changes colour, just a dark caffeine riddled tart. I know that one. They do like a strong cuppa, don't they, bless them. Where have we got here? Let's have a quick, oh yes, Dave. He's working sort of cheam way, he says, sort of, hopefully he knows, being his job. He's got a little moan to say. A couple of his lads can't make tea. They're called Gumbo and Rick. He's appalled by their tea making. He says, fair play, they're good grafters, but their tea making is appalling. Stop messing things up, but I hope you enjoyed your McDonald's. He got them this morning to warm up. So hang on a second, as a boss, he's buying you McDonald's and you can't make a decent cuppa. I think P and 4 and 5 go together quite well there. Big Dave, you get that P45 out, son. Get some decent lads on board. And finally, Craig Parsons has been moaning about a good friend of his who he does a bit of work with, a guy called Aaron Evans, makes this appalling, appalling tea. I think we've got a problem on our hands, fellow builders. The industry's falling to pieces because of one thing. None of us can make decent tea anymore.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.
And now it's time for my rant.
Let the rant begin.
Suppliers and their accounts departments. I am livid. I went into one of my main suppliers to order some new gear, and they said, your account's on stop and it is now legal. I was like, what the? How much for and how long has this alleged debt been going on for, and why haven't I had any letters, emails or phone calls? You've gone straight to the legal. Whenever any of my other trade accounts are late being paid or whatever, I get the odd letter, email, they even give me a call, then I pay, everyone's happy. Now, I have a multinational company taking me to court over something I've got no idea about, and I can't even chuck a load of gear in my account that I need for the job we're on. So, this doesn't seem to add up. I've used this lot for a long time, but I've not been in recently because we're having a row over my terms and all the late deliveries. So how can they say I'm 4 months over on my account? I asked the bloke behind the desk to have a look at it, and after several confused looks and frantic tapping at his keyboard, he picks up the phone to his accounts office. I then hear him go, "Oh, you're joking," puts the phone down. Things don't appear to be going well. He puts the phone down and looks at me embarrassed and says, "I'm sorry, but someone's put the wrong message on your account." Eh? Are you having a laugh? Seriously? A few minutes ago, you were telling me there was legal action. I hadn't paid my account for 4 whole months and I should be expecting to go to court. And it was a mistake. I cannot believe this. Some people, on a serious note, that are suffering with bad debts, finance problems, mental health, would have taken this a lot worse than me. Some would have taken it a lot worse. And with our industry having such a high suicide rate because of these sorts of problems, this is bang out of order. How on earth can someone make this type of mistake? The wrong message on your account. If I hadn't have gone in, I would have been in court, lost a day's money, and had to deal with this stress. This is outrageous. It sums up these Muppets. No wonder everyone is leaving them and going elsewhere. Even the guy behind the counter is embarrassed. I just cannot get over how inept a huge multinational company really is. So when is it going to stop? When will these Muppets stop screwing everything up? Prices, terms, deliveries, accounts, legal, the lot. At this rate, we'll all be going back to the independents. Forget the big boys. I'm sick of this. What about all the money I've paid out to the guys to drink tea while we're waiting for your deliveries that are hours late, and the time I've had to take off to send emails and make calls because of your ineptitude and the stress? I'm done. We're meant to be your customers. Imagine if I treated a customer this badly. Now sort yourselves out, you useless, inept, pathetic cockwombles.
Andy Stevens on Fix Radio.
Temptation by Heaven 17 on Fix Radio. Jack the producer just popped in and you should see him dancing to that. He really does look a state, bless him. But someone said he's a good dancer. We will be seeing at the Fix Christmas party. I won't be putting much money on him carving the dance floor up. Now, here at Fix, we often give out loads of great prizes, and this is something else you've got to get involved with. You could win hundreds of pounds worth of prizes on Fix Radio for the forthcoming Christmas. There's great prizes for some great brands. Dr. Martin, Regatta, Almat Building Supplies, and many, many more. They're behind the doors of our Fix Radio festive calendar. The 12 days of Fixmas coming soon on Fix Radio. But look out, some of the doors are booby prizes. But in the festive spirit of things, everyone's a winner at Fix Radio. And there's a very easy way of entering. All you got to do is text Fixmas, which is FIXMAS, to 81400, and Trev and Ben, the brilliant breakfast show guys, could be calling you back to play the 12 days of Fixmas on Fix Radio. Get involved with that. 81400 on the text. All you got to do is text Fixmas and can win some banging prizes for Christmas. Certainly saves you putting your hand in your pocket for the Secret Santa. That's what I say. Oh, we've already had loads come in, so thanks for getting in touch. If you are listening, just drop us a message, because those prizes could be yours. Thank you to my guests this week, which have been Bill Hill from the Construction Industry Charity, and of course we've had Peter as well, talking about all the different things to do with apprenticeships. And I think it's quite clear that we've really got to get this sorted out to get the industry moving forward. We've also thank you to everybody getting in touch. John, Craig, Aaron, Dave, Gumbo and Rick. Again, sorry, but Dave's been back on the blower. He said the tea's getting worse, lads. You know, this is important. Our industry was built on tea. The whole empire was built on tea. Rick, Gumbo, going to have a hard, long look at yourselves in the mirror. I think Dave said basically free breakfast on a Friday in the CAF and the McDonald's this morning to warm you boys up is totally on hold until you get your tea making sorted. Remember, milk goes in last. Anyone that put milk in first should never, ever be allowed in our industry again. So Rick and Gumbo, go and sort yourselves out, son.
The Toolbox Show on Fix Radio with Andy Stevens. Brought to you by the Federation of Master Builders.